This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
All right, you guys, happy Monday. The Mariners just won their sixth series in a row. We're going to talk about it in just a second. Lots to take away from this one. An ugly game Friday, an amazing game Saturday, and a close one on Sunday. Before I get to it, Bump, you have a good weekend. You're very decked out in Cougs gear today, like head to toe.
Yeah, I am.
Any reason or just in your soul?
I just woke up. You know, I live life one minute at a time.
Exactly, quarter mile at a time.
You know, got out the shower and looked at the hat. It all starts with the hat, Stacey.
Right.
So I looked at the hat and I go, okay, this is what we're doing today. But no, overall, it was a good weekend, man. You got a series win, number six in a row, like you mentioned on the snapshot, and it was good. I also, big ups to anyone who suggested Shogun. To watch.
Oh,
on
yeah.
Hulu.
So Bump got a ton of TV suggestions. So you watch Shogun.
Yeah, and it is fire. The only bad thing about it is that I can't watch it when I'm sleepy because you have to read the subtitles. And I'm trying to, last night I'm like prepping for work and then I'm trying to watch it at the same time. And I'm always asking my wife, what did I miss? What'd she say? She goes, dang it, put the iPad down and you got to watch. So I put it down for a little bit and I watched. But yeah, big ups. I'm into it.
I've heard so many good things about it. And I tried to get into the first episode and I thought it was okay, but something about it, I just couldn't get into
it. It takes a little bit.
I feel like I need to give it another shot because so many people are raving about it. Now, did you get into Survivor like Curtis and I recommended?
No, I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was rolling. You guys sent a clip of some lady freaking out over some Applebee's that had me dying legit.
So the prize for the content, and here's the thing, when you're stranded on an island, I think a ham sandwich made with like a grocery store ham and like Wonder Bread would sound amazing. But she loses her mind because this burger from Applebee's is like her favorite thing on the planet.
Mm.
Now, I think it's super entitled, but also Applebee's better give that woman a commercial because man, did she sell the heck out of that burger.
Sure did.
I mean, I don't even like mushrooms, and I thought, is it that good that she's losing her mind about it?
I have thought about that scene every day since Wednesday.
I can't
Wednesday.
Stop thinking about it. For anyone who watches Survivor, you know exactly what we're talking about. Just this woman starts screaming at these people that win a food challenge because she wants the burger.
She's hungry. She's hangry.
I don't think... Sometimes when we're on air, you know how sometimes you don't think about being on air. You think that you're talking to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think if I were on a reality TV show, I would forget I was on TV.
I would never forget.
I could be in a horrible place and would not
I wouldn't
act
be myself.
Like a mess.
I would never be myself.
No. I would never be myself. Mm-hmm. And I would never do that in general. But like, how do you forget where you are? She forgot who she was for a minute.
She did.
She lost her dang mind.
I'm angry!
I know. I'm angry! You blew up my spot!
How was your weekend, though?
It was fantastic. So I watched the Kentucky Derby, and I don't normally watch it, but Derek and I both, like, made bets on different horses. Neither of our horses won.
Like
I chose
bets or
no, like a fun, like, okay, you pay for lunch later. I went for Honor Marie, and I did research. I was like, okay, I think I'm going to look like a genius here. But congratulations to Mystic Dan, who ended up winning that one, photo finish. I will say, it's... The race, it's hours and hours of waiting, and it comes down to just this really quick,
yep.
It's just over, and then
it's like
that's
2 minutes?
Yeah, and then it's just done.
It's more about what happens before the race, you know, everyone
right.
dressing up with their hats and their fits,
the
all colorful and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I can get into that. I don't think that's my scene, you know? Like, even the country clubs make me feel a little weird, and I love golf.
I feel it.
But it's like, kind of like, all right, man, it's a little bougie up in here.
For that reason, I always love when they interview the owners. If there's like an owner where I'm like, this is someone who just kind of fell into this. Most people are like already millionaires. They're buying these multi-million-dollar horses and racing these horses. And this is a rich man's game.
The show.
So afterwards, the owner of the favorite was being interviewed and one of his daughters. And if you guys watch the race and the interviews after, you know exactly what I'm talking about. One of his daughters, she's young, is just staring like ahead, just she's distraught that the horse lost. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, it's cool. You'll get whatever car you want when
you're
16.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Like, don't stress. You aren't realizing it right now, but you got a great life. You'll be okay. But yeah, and also, shout out to Dorothea. She's a friend of Derek's who got me flowers for my birthday month. I don't mean to step on Willa's toes, Curtis.
I mean,
you guys don't celebrate your birthday month?
No.
Bump,
heck
I know
no.
You share yours with Jesus.
That is some wifey type stuff. My wife, she goes, oh, it's Mother's Day month. But what?
You just, it's day.
What?
It's not Mother's Day month.
It says
it in the name of the holiday.
I have heard of many people who celebrate their birthday month, and they don't do it sincerely, though. If you guys need the address for our studio to send me gifts, please let me know. But it is my birthday month. Congratulations to everyone else born in May. I have never heard, like, it's Mother's Day month.
Month. And
oh,
she ain't playing.
That.
It's real.
I love that. Dude, does that mean next month you're going to say, oh, Father's Day month?
Of course, I can say it, but it ain't going to happen.
It doesn't mean anything.
But you know what? You know what? My wife lets me golf as much as I want.
Okay.
So I can pump the brakes on
Father's
that.
Day, we're lucky if we're even allowed to sleep in on that day. It is... It's just another day.
I hope that your wives tell you it's a day that reminds you how important it is to be a present father.
Exactly.
You need to wake up on time.
I got some things for you to do.
Yeah. In fact, you should be grateful you have stuff to do around the house. I made you a list. Happy Father's Day. Let's see. Okay. So let's get to the Mariners here. We're wasting so much time. We have a lot of Mariners in the first hour, so don't worry. We got you covered. But I am going to start with the ugly. It all ended up being okay. Okay. This is like when you watch a bad scene in a movie and you're like, I know that they're going to live, but man, am I nervous. This is how I feel going over Friday's game. Friday was ugly. That seventh inning was god-awful. Mm. 5 walks issued, 4 runs allowed, just completely fell apart. On Friday, you saw, I want to say, not quite the floor, but close to the floor of what the Mariners could look like.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. The bullpen didn't look like the bullpen that we know and that we love this year, right? You got Thornton, who gave up, 2 earned, and Inspire gives up 2 earned. And it's unfortunate because Kirby had a decent outing, right? He goes 6 innings, only 4 hits, 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts. But yeah, it's that was an example of, listen, at some point, you got to show up and support this pitching staff, especially that bullpen, because they're going to have their days. But then there are still some bright spots at the same time. You got Rojas, who I think we all highlighted having himself a excellent year. He had himself, 3 hits, I believe, in that game. So, Friday was the game where the game I expected to happen in this series. I felt like you're not going to sweep the Astros. There's mental hurdles you got to get over when you play these guys. And I expected one game for them to come out and sneak one. But this is the most confident I felt going into a series against the Astros where I'm like, they can win this series, but they're going to give up a game. I didn't see a sweep coming.
On Saturday, you had a much more complete game, and Logan Gilbert was absolutely lights out. Like, again, every time I see one of these starts, and Kirby was amazing. Man. It was controversial on Friday. He was pulled after 88 pitches, but he had some knee issues. I'll let it go. The bullpen fell apart. Normally, they've been great.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you had a starter on Saturday have another outing. And Bump, I keep getting to this place where a starter will be through, let's say, 6. So you hit that quality start and I just go, again?
Yeah.
God, I keep waiting for it to fall apart. I can't help but just think that that's going to happen. I'm kind of a doomer. But once again, they have Logan Gilbert go out there and just crush it.
Logan just looking like the stud that he is. Goes 8 innings, 96 pitches in 8 innings. Only gave up 2 hits, 4 walks. All right, you want to clean that up, obviously. This team isn't known for walking, but he also set down 6. Again, just a... the way the identity of this team is going to show up, I'd say maybe 4 out of 6 games. You know what you're going to get out of this pitching staff. It's all about showing that support. And he got some. Polanco's been steady climbing when it comes to looking better and more comfortable in this offense. He had himself a day with 2 hits. You got Garver. He had himself 2 hits as well, had an RBI. So this was a game where this is the typical. This is what... ideally, this is how you want your team to win games, at least this team, because of their identity and who they are. Logan, go out there. You do your thing. Get some runs in. You get a run in the second and the fourth, one in the fifth, one in the sixth. You put together 3 innings where you score runs. I can't tell you the last time we saw that. I know it's happened before with this team. But when you think of a Mariners type of win, this is it right here.
Now, if you think of another type of Mariners win we've seen before, it probably ends with a go-ahead home run from Cal Raleigh, which is exactly what happened on Sunday in the ninth.
Now the stretch and... and the 0-2 pitch on the way to Cal. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to left field. Going and going and goodbye baseball. In and out of the Crawford boxes. And straightaway left. That was a comet. Holy smokes, number 8 on the year for Cal Raleigh. His second in as many days here in Houston. And the Mariners grab the lead 5-4 over the Astros.
It was a club-high 8th home run for Cal Raleigh, obviously, when this team needed it most. I loved Julio giving him the trident and then kind of looking up to the sky like, thank God. I wrote, in terms of what we learned this weekend, what the floor is, what the ceiling can be. And then the third one I wrote, you can count on Cal.
Yeah, you man, my man has been clutch. Feels like his whole career here with the Mariners. I had to look up after that win, because that was the more exciting win. And I was like, man, when's the last time they, you know, won from behind? So far this year, they got 5 wins from behind, and that's tied for 24th in the league. There's about 4 or 5 teams tied at that spot. And then this is their first come from behind win in the 9th. So again, I go, all right, man, check another box. Cal being clutch in the 9th. And this is the first game where I felt like the – and it's happened before, obviously, during the season, but most recently, the offense came through for the pitch for your pitchers, right? You got Reyes coming through with a couple RBIs. You got Cal hitting a bomb in the 9th. Like, they had to dig themselves out of a hole. The pitching wasn't horrible this day, right? But this is the first time when I go, all right, man, the pitchers can go into the clubhouse and be like, look, big ups to all you guys that contributed to this win, because we were down, we were behind. So yeah, that was fun to watch, man. It's always nice to see Cal do his thing and come through clutch, mm-hmm. but it's nice to get the contributions that you're getting from some of these guys, man. We mentioned Rojas, Urias as well. It's I look at Rojas and Urias, and I'm like, all right, are we getting what we expected out of these dudes?
More.
And I think with Rojas, you're getting more, and with Urias, it's starting to come around. And even though you look at his average, and it's like, all right, well, his average isn't great, but his OPS is over 900. He still has, what, 7 RBIs. Mm-hmm. He still has, what, a couple bombs as well. He's contributing, and he's not an everyday type of dude, so obviously he's not going to have the opportunities that these other guys get. But those two right there, I think that was probably the biggest question mark we had coming into the season. Third base, those two, how are they going to do? I think as good as advertised.
I love that as being the fourth point. So we know what the floor is. We know what the ceiling can be. Count on Cal. Number 4, the third base platoon is working out better than we thought. I know as a team you still have some defensive questions, and that has popped up time and time again, even though it's not been constant. But Josh Rojas, let's stick with him for a second. Slashing .356, .440, .562, OPS over 1,000, 3 home runs. I kind of want to see what he looks like against lefties, Scott. Like, I know that your analytics are telling you keep him against righties, and he is raking. But I'm kind of curious.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
just
curious,
put him out
too.
There for maybe 2 at bats, and then you know, pinch hit someone else. Like, I'm just curious.
I'm curious too, but I'm also like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
1,000%. Yeah. But what if it's fixed and you want to try to see if it works on something else?
Yeah, I feel that. I feel you. I'm curious too. But as a coach, when you've won 6 series in a row, you're looking at it and go, all right, there's a formula here. There's a formula that's working, and that's with Julio not being the guy that we were used to seeing quite yet, and other things not really clicking. Yeah, I think I'm curious as well. I would love to see it, but something tells me Scott's going to be like, man, we chilling, we good.
Seeing them get this series win, and each one of these series is kind of told like a different story. One was dominant, obviously, your sweep of the Reds. You had another one where, you know, you had great offensive performances. You could have swept the Rockies. You really could have. You had other ones that were close, but you ended up getting out of it. I put this in that category where, like, you, I do think you learned a lot about this Mariners team heading out of this one. You saw 3 different games. One was horrible. One was great. And one was close, which is probably how they're going to win more often than not.
Yeah.
And I feel like I took a lot coming from it.
For sure. Exactly. 3 different type of wins. Or 3 different type of games, should say.
Right.
The typical loss for the Mariners where the bats just aren't going. You don't score runs. You get dominated. The come from behind win. Big ups to the Texas that pointed out. I forgot Mitch did hit a bomb to win it in the night for our guys last week. Yeah, this is baseball, man. This is baseball. To where there's so many games, so there's so many opportunities to win and lose in different fashions. You got guys at the bottom of the order playing a bit better than guys at the top of the order. Polanco shows up in a 2-3 game span to where he looks good and kind of fades away a little bit. Mm-hmm. Rodriguez, I think our bar sets so high for him. He'll have a decent series, but it's not what we want. Our bases loaded, no outs. I'm thinking, all right, Julio, sack fly, just put it in play, hit it deep or something, and drive a run in, and it just doesn't happen.
Yep.
So it's fun to take this ride with this team, especially when you felt like they still haven't played their best game yet with all their ballers doing what they're supposed to do. But they're a scrappy team finding ways to win. And, we got to big ups Rojas as much as we can at this point because he might be the glue. My question now is, once JP is good, like, what do you do with that?
Good question. I'm glad that you mentioned Julio, by the way, in that last one. There is one stat that Joe Doyle has been paying attention to with Julio that's really shocked him this year. I won't tell you what it is. There is one stat in particular that's really surprised him. But he has another reason that he expects Julio to be able to turn this thing around. So, again, Joe's going to join us coming up at noon. So we're going to stick with baseball pretty heavy for the first hour, and then we're going to get back to it at noon. ESPN's Brady Henderson joining us at 11. We're going to break it up with some football in the middle, some Seahawks stuff out of rookie camp. But before we get to any of that, let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline Rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, Rashad Penny will sign a one-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. That's per ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. What's the real headline?
Bold of Carolina to continue investing in the area of Seahawks coaches and players that got Pete fired.
Dang.
This is the NFL in a nutshell. This is it. Hey, I know you. You know me.
Yeah.
I got an opportunity.
Let's do
Come
something
on and
together.
Join, man. You know, we should connect. Take my number.
Let's collab.
I'll hit you in a month or two. This is the NFL in a nutshell, man. I can hate on it, but I'm not going to hate on it. But this is the reality of what it is. If you made a connection with someone in this league, you'll hang around longer than expected. And with Rashad Penny, he's never played a full season. 14 games, 10-3, 10-5-3. He just can't stay healthy. But the good thing about him is he's going to join a nice little backfield over there. You got Hubbard had 900 yards in, 2022 or 23. Mm-hmm. Miles Sanders had 1,200 back in 22. There's some talent there. It's about staying healthy. Good for Rashad. He made a good enough impression on Canales to, you know, have him take a chance on him over in Carolina. But I don't see this going well for Canales in Carolina right now. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I hope that he exceeds expectations. But just looking at the roster he's putting together, is you're relying on old dogs to do new tricks. And I just don't see that happening.
I will just forever, forever be curious about what might have happened with that end of season run from Rashad Penny. Was that, let's see, that was in 2021. Like, I just want to revisit those numbers one more time. In 2021, get out of here, Fred Meyer ad. When you're looking at the end of the season, are you sure it was 2021?
Yeah, it was the year the Seahawks won 7 games. He finished in 4 of his final.
Yes, you're right.
Four of his final 5 games had at least 135 yards.
I specifically remember, so there was a week 17 game against Detroit. Seattle wins. Rashad rushes for 170 and 2 touchdowns. And I remember on air being like, well, you know, you can't expect that again. And then the following week, he rushed for 190. And, like, I remember just thinking, where's this going? Like, he's touching almost 200 yards here. What might happen? And then it's just, you saw the potential of what the Seahawks at one point saw.
Yeah, I mean, he finished that year averaging 6.3 yards per carry. You saw the greatness that is in him. And sometimes, man, that greatness just can be overshadowed by injury. And that's what happens. That's what has happened with Rashad Penny. It's unfortunate, man, but at this point of his career, he's just a guy that can give you some snaps and maybe a couple big runs to support the other running backs. So for him, this is a good situation. He's not asked to be the number one guy. He never will be asked to do that again unless guys in front of him get injured. So it's good for him. I'm scratching my head a bit with Canales and saying, man, don't just run it back. Try something new, but he's not asking a lot from Rashad.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, Byron Murphy became the first 2024 first rounder to sign his rookie deal. What's the real headline?
Did the Seahawks learn something from the Devin Witherspoon saga last year? If you guys remember, Witherspoon was the last first round pick to sign his rookie deal, and that ended up being completely fine. Like, Devin was one of the best players on the field for Seattle last season. By all accounts, including our own interviews with him, like, a great kid. You know what I mean? There wasn't like some diva moment. They were just being careful about what they were signing. It's just that Byron Murphy, now notably the opposite, the first round player to sign.
Yeah, I think that just comes from a consultation with Devin Witherspoon. He wanted the Seahawks to do something that they don't normally do, which is guarantee more money. There's kind of like a threshold that they go after. So I would assume that it was just business as usual with Byron Murphy. So go ahead and get that out the way, man, because high expectations on this young man. He had a good rookie mini camp. We'll be talking about him for a while because he is going to be one of the anchors of this defense, or is expected to be. And we heard Mike McDonald talk about him. So, look, we're not going to crown him the greatest right now, but there's a lot that we see that we do like. He did say he needs to get in better shape. My man might have been chilling a little bit for a week or so prior to rookie minicamp, but you know what? You've worked so hard. Go ahead and indulge a bit, but now it's time to get back to work. Good on the Seahawks for getting this done. One less distraction. One less thing for us to talk about, too.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three, Anthony Edwards continued his incredible start to the playoffs with 43 in a game one win for the T-Wolves over the Nuggets. What's the real headline?
Anthony Edwards is so likable that NBA fans are rooting for a team that also has Rudy Gobert.
I've never heard anyone say, man, Rudy, he's a great player. Defensively, he is a good player, but no one really vibes with him, especially after that COVID deal. Here's the thing about Anthony Edwards, man. 33.4 points per game he's averaging, shooting almost 60% from the field. Last game, only had one turnover. The T-Wolves got seven players averaging in double digits. I've been searching and looking for a guy after Kobe. I think I found one. I'm rocking with Anthony Edwards, man. This is the dude.
No, you can't jump off this bandwagon.
No, I'm not jumping. This is it.
You got to be on it.
I'm on it.
You got to be like, Anthony Edwards has horrible games, and you got to start blaming the coach.
Yeah, exactly. That's what people do for LeBron.
You're limiting him.
That's what people do for LeBron all the time. It ain't LeBron's fault. LeBron this, LeBron that. LeBron got like 9-10 coaches fired.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Anthony Edwards, I'm convinced this is my guy going forward. I'm rocking with him.
We broke the news of the Lakers firing their head coach when you weren't on air. I'm guessing that your opinion about it as a Lakers fan is that it's not necessarily his fault that some of these horrible transactions were taking place.
And he ain't do nothing. And the worst part about it is, and I was listening to First Take, and Stephen A. and Perk and Shannon did a good job kind of describing it. Mm-hmm. They're absolutely right. It's just LeBron takes no accountability in getting these guys fired. And the lack of passion he shows after losses just rubs, especially Laker Nation, the wrong way. Fake it. Get on the mic and look distraught, like he's about to cry and that it hurts. My man is smiling and giggling. All right, man, I'll see you guys next year. By the way, I'm getting ham fired on the way out, but I'm going to keep my hands clean. I take no responsibility. No, again, he's great, man. No denying that stuff, but that's the type of stuff that rubs Laker Nation the wrong way, probably outside of Laker Nation, too.
Yeah, it's weird because you want to look at it on the one hand and you want to say, like, oh, good. Like, sports aren't everything. He should be able to say, like, it's just basketball. But then you also want someone to care deeply. And I think in baseball, and you guys know this more than me, it feels like in the NBA more than any other league, there is a chasm between an older generation and a newer generation. Mm-hmm. And LeBron is kind of riding that fence. Yes, he's in his late 30s. And so, you know, it seems like, but he is still younger than that older generation. Like, he's a millennial.
He's a transition between our generation and Chuck and Shaq and those dudes and this younger generation.
Yeah. But he's got those kind of qualities that I think an older generation still does not like.
Yeah. But he's great. So when it's all said and done, we'll forget some of this. At least the people who just read about him will forget. But we know. Come on, bro.
One of the greatest of all time, maybe the greatest of all time, if I was a Lakers fan, I'd be kind of annoyed.
Man. Statues. We play for statues and trophies. You ain't getting another one in LA.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. How far could the Mariners go this year? Wild card series? The ALCS? World Series? One Hall of Fame pitcher thinks the Mariners have the right formula to take this all the way. You'll want to hear what he said. It's coming up next.
Whether you're planning a special birthday party for 14 friends and family or a company outing for up to 400 coworkers, Mariner's Suites are the perfect spot for your next get-together. Enjoy catering, VIP parking, private entry, and more. Reserve today at mariners.com/suites.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Transform your home in one weekend and get big savings on everything for your project at Menards. Menards carries the largest selection of Purdy painting tools you need to get your painting project started. From brushes, paint, roller covers, and even paint kits. Hurry in and save big money on Purdy painting supplies. Get everything you need for your painting project at Menards. Plus, check out Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
I heard something interesting this morning, Bump. It was on Brock and Salk. Salk is out today, so it was a heavy Mariners day with Brock having Ryan Roland Smith in. And they had on a Hall of Fame pitcher, John Smoltz. And he was talking about starting pitching and, you know, everything that's great for it and you know, kind of like the recipe to win it all. And one thing he said, and this was during a conversation about catching and the roles between catchers and pitchers, but one thing that he said stood out to me specifically when it comes to the Mariners. Take a listen.
It really is not this earth-shattering thing I'm about to tell you. You win because your pitchers give you a chance to win. Rare do you out-hit everybody, and rare does out-hitting great pitching exist in the postseason. The Atlanta Braves had the most historic offensive season last year and got shut down at the worst time, the wrong time for them, and that's the postseason. You pitch, you defend, you always have a chance. Now, for Seattle, they've been on the historic opposite side of not being able to score enough runs to make that matter. I think they're in position now where they can do that.
What do you think hearing that?
I think that is the approach, right? You get into the yoffs, the playoffs, and you need your pitching to be on point. You're going to play in close ball games. And if there's anything that these Mariners have done over the past few years, it's pretty well in close ball games. Mm-hmm. At one point, at the most, well, one run wins in however many years. I believe it was 2022 was the season, I think, where they led the league in that. So I'm hearing that, look, they have the formula right now with this pitching staff, the way they've been executing in this bullpen to get themselves in the playoffs and do just enough. The part that concerns me is that to get into the playoffs, you got to have runs to where the bats are hot. And we just haven't seen the consistency in that area that we're used to seeing. I hear defense wins championships. I hear that clutch hits like Cal and Mitch the last, week or so, are what are going to win you ball games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a formula that stands the test of time. You get in, the pitching is good. That could be good enough for you to win ball games. But I think that the offense definitely needs to produce and be clutch in those moments. That's why I love the Garver moment. That's why I love the Cal moment. I love Urias coming up in the eighth inning and scoring a run. I love those moments because I look in the future and I go, you're going to need that. You're going to need that because this team always finds themselves in those type of positions. So, yeah, I hear defense wins championships. You have a defense, and the bats can do just enough to win you some ball games.
It's a good way to see it and to explain it, because that's also what I hear. I feel both reassured, and I also hit the pause button. I feel reassured in that the formula that the Mariners have in terms of the way that, granted, a Hall of Fame pitcher mm-hmm. would want to win, is with elite pitching. You have a pitcher-friendly ballpark. Like, you've got it there. You've and not only that, but we've seen it this year. Like, it's not just on paper. They have looked like one of the best pitching staffs, the best pitching staff in baseball.
Yep.
I also hit pause when I wonder if there's anyone that hears that and goes, oh, great. That's what you do. Like, they absolutely nailed it. They have all the pieces that it takes. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. I don't think that what John Smoltz is saying is you can have an offense that's 26th in average and it doesn't matter. That's not what I'm hearing John say.
No.
What I'm hearing John say is even an elite offense like the Atlanta Braves were last year can't out-hit elite pitching consistently when you get to the postseason when it really matters. Like, if you had to choose, you'd choose pitching. That doesn't mean you can have an offense that's wildly inconsistent. The Mariners have scored more than five runs five times this year. Their record when allowing five or more runs. So when the pitching is not tight, like when the pitching is not on it, they're 0-11.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't have that kind of run. You have to be able to at least keep things competitive. Give a little run support. Do I need the Seattle Mariners offense with the way this pitching has been to be top five, even top 10 in average or OPS? No. 15? 20? Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. This, I'm going to do something we haven't done yet, or I haven't done at least. All that sounds good. Your pitching has to be on point. You got to score more runs. You need to be clutch. You need your best player to play like your best player. Mm. And Julio just ain't doing that. He's not having a horrible season. He's not having a horrible season. But with all that being said, with the pitching being on point, with you scoring just enough runs, there's something to be said when your best player is leading the charge on a team, and we just haven't seen that quite yet. So as excited as we could be in this moment and say, six straight series win, you got a Hall of Fame pitcher talking about what this team can do performing like this, I also can't ignore the start of the season, and also can't ignore that there's still some missing pieces to this team. Your pitching can be great. Your pitching can be awesome, but we've also seen that one bad pitch can lead to a two- or three-run inning. And how are you going to climb yourself out of it? That's why I thought it was important that we saw some things this series where these guys are climbing themselves out of a hole. But at some point, the guy who's getting paid the most and the guy who is the face of this whole thing needs to get going at the plate. Defensively, he's been awesome. Stealing bags, he's been awesome. Ain't been bad at the plate, but he ain't been a star at the plate yet. So I'm still waiting on that. I think this team has a potential based of all the numbers you said, you listed out and everything that that we just heard from that clip. But I'm also saying, all right, there are some things just for the vibe of your team to when you get into those moments to make you feel like you can get her done is to have number 44 step into the plate and have those moments. We just haven't seen enough of it yet. I thought I see it this past weekend. Still waiting on that. Mm-hmm. Still think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But until I see it, I go, all right, there's something missing with this ball club right now.
You're right, though. I have this natural inclination to look at decision makers and to look at historic issues when it comes to the Mariners offense and go, God, this is just an organization that like doesn't spend as much as I'd love for them to spend on offense. Now, if you're Jerry DePoto and you were listening, you would go, look at all the pieces that you wanted me to get that aren't performing. And I would say, you're right, Jerry, but hang on a minute. You know, there have also been a lot of examples of this club not being as aggressive. However, in taking that approach so often, I find myself overlooking execution and overlooking where there's something that Justin and Jerry and any Scott, whoever, can't control. They cannot step up to the plate and make Julio a better hitter. Like, you have mm-hmm. your coaching, you have your hitting coaches, you have your philosophy, you have your analytics, you have, you know, your tablets, everything that you're doing within this organization. But you're right. I often find myself overlooking that at a certain point, a player just has to do it. And Julio isn't doing it as consistently.
Yeah, and sometimes all it takes is one, right? All it takes is a good game,
sure.
A couple of extra base hits, and, you know, and you find your groove and you're good to go. It just hasn't happened for my man yet. And I just think that's important. Your leaders need to lead. You've seen it out of Cal. Polanco's had his moments. Rojas has had his moments. Goodness gracious, Mitch Garver has had his moment. What's your Julio moment? I think there's one this year. There have been several times where the bases are loaded. All it needs to do is slap one out there, and you get a run scored, and it just hasn't happened yet. So we're checking a lot of boxes, though, and that's the positive thing about this squad. 34 games into this thing, I believe it's 34. You've checked a lot of boxes. There's one box that still needs to be checked. Once that gets going, I see the potential of this team as you could win this division. You could get into the playoffs, and you're moving in the right direction, still waiting to see something. But as long as that pitching is on point like it has been, as long as you're getting contributions from guys like Rojas who you're not really expecting, you're moving in the right direction, and the future looks bright, but I'm still waiting on something.
Someone said 44 needs to be on the bench for at least two games. 509 says move Julio down the order. I'm not a big believer in moving someone down in the order as punishment. I am a believer in, if someone's outperforming and you like the way that they can fit in the lineup and the way they complement the guys around them, why not give them more at-bats? Because ultimately, obviously, the guys in the top, this sounds like the most obvious thing on the planet, but you're going to get more at-bats. So is there someone worth potentially getting one more plate appearance?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. And with Julio, to get him going, he needs as many ABs as he can. So
it's a balancing act.
I'm for leaving him there. I go, look, I'm just waiting. Leave him there, but I'm just waiting.
I just wouldn't treat a lineup like parenting.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Like, it's hard because it's not intentional. It's something clearly isn't clicking for Julio. He's not performing the way that you want him to. It's not for a lack of trying. So you have to be really careful about how you dole out moving around an order. In my opinion, it should never be as like a, I want you to learn your lesson.
Nah.
And you only move him down if you can find a way to create a complimentary lineup and there are people that deserve more at-bats. Like, Josh Rojas is, if Josh Rojas was batting seventh, I'd be like, move him up.
Yeah, what are we doing?
But he's not. He's leading off.
Yeah. And I mean, talent deserves more opportunities, too. So
that's just the truth.
It is what it is.
It's just the truth. All right, we are going to get back to the Mariners coming up a little later. We're also bringing on Joe Doyle to talk specifically about this topic coming up at noon. We're going to go Seahawks, though. ESPN's Brady Henderson joining us at 11. Before then, everything we learned from Mike McDonald at rookie camp. Don't go anywhere.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
911, what's your emergency?
Someone on every line said they
kidnapped my son. On September 12, 1995, McKay Everett disappeared from his home in Conroe, Texas.
There was no sign of forced entry. It was just as if McKay had walked out of his own free will.
And to this day, McKay's mother, Paulette, feels that justice was never truly served. Ransom is available now. Listen at ransompodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Mike McDonald spoke to reporters from Seahawks rookie camp, and we learned a ton from the new head coach. So let's cover all of it. We'll start with his impressions for these two young corners. We've spoken so much about Byron Murphy, a little bit more about Christian Haynes, and have not really covered a lot of those day three picks. Here's what he had to say about first impressions of both corners.
It's hard to tell with the tempo, but mentally, not a lot of mistakes. I thought they moved well. You know, there's things, again, there's so many. It's a good start. Yeah. They only know cover three and cover four right now. It's like, you know, there's just a lot of things that we're going to be working on, but obviously a good start. Try to get them to talk a little bit more and open up, so I'm sure that'll happen pretty soon.
Look, when you are a day three rookie, there's going to be a lot of learning that you have to do. You aren't going to be tailor-made for the NFL. I like them adding to the corner group despite already having Devin Witherspoon and Reek Wolin, though. I'm interested in these two.
Yeah, it's when they drafted these two guys, it made me look at that position a bit differently. It made me look at Reek Woolen and say, all right, Reek, you got to put together a year. You had your sophomore slump, which wasn't horrible. Just his tackling wasn't there. He wasn't healthy. There are a lot of things that contributed to that. Then I look at these two guys and I go, look, they're coming for your spot, dog. And that will do two things. It will elevate his play, or it will make him look over his shoulder constantly and not perform at his best. I think Devin Witherspoon is like, look, I'm number five pick, dog. Mm-hmm. I was a candidate for defensive player, rookie of the year. I'm good to go. But I like this. I like this competition. I like this possible rotation, because even if these guys don't start, talking about
Nehemiah Pritchett and DJ James,
if they don't start, they're going to be in the mix. They're going to get on special teams to do their thing. And here's the thing about playing defense, too, and you're playing corner. Cover three is cover three, cover four, four is two is two, one is one. Now it's about just the communication, the alignment, and maybe using some technique that they want you to use. But it ain't like they're coming in. It's like, I've never seen cover two like this before. No, it's more of a just getting used to the way they're coaching it and the technique they want you to use.
I am so used to Pete Carroll very carefully, lightly, and almost in a way that you don't notice doling out criticism. That it was weird, and not in a bad way, to hear Mike Macdonald give very blunt kind of reactions to how the rookie. I do, too. Mm-hmm. Let's take a listen to Back to Back, where he has lots of praise, but then some criticism for first Byron Murphy.
Tough to really, truly evaluate because of the tempo. But just overall, good start. You know, we're not going to crown him right now on he's the next best defensive tackle of all time. But, I mean, we're really excited about it. And shows all the bend and the strength at the point of attack and acceleration. Need to get in a little bit better shape, you know, so he can get through a whole practice and fly around like we expect him to. But he understands that, just like the rest of these guys. It's so hard to stay in this elite shape the way the calendar's set up. So he'll get there, but we'll be pushing him in the meantime.
He gives him a little bit of wiggle room. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's hard. I get it.
Yeah.
But still says, you need to be in better shape, Byron.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much saying you're the number 16 pick. You're more talented than a lot of these guys.
Yeah,
so you get some room to work. But if that with a 30 invites to rookie minicamp, if they're not in shape the very first day, they're already cut. You're number 16 pick. You got a bit of wiggle room. But I like this approach. Mm-hmm. I like that Mike Macdonald is keeping these guys humble and hungry. They were celebrated over the weekend. He had a rookie spotlight deal. And now it's, okay, let's get to work now. All the celebration is gone. You've been drafted. You had your party, or maybe you were signed as an undrafted free agent, whatever that may be. Now it's time to go to work. You're going to get your true evaluation. There's a switch that happens in college and in the NFL. When you're being recruited in college, you're the greatest player of all time. They love you. This is what we're going to do for you. As soon as you hit your first practice, get in line, freshman. Mm-hmm. Same thing with NFL. Before they draft you, they love you. You're the greatest of all time. And once you get into camp, all right, now it's time to go to work. So there's a transition going on in this relationship.
If anyone's wondering how a young player is going to respond to that, Byron Murphy seems to like it just fine.
I love Coach Macdonald. I feel like he is very, very demanding. You know, I feel like I want to play for a coach like that. You know, a coach that pushed me. You know, a coach that wanted me to be great. So I love it.
I like it.
Yeah, and that's refreshing, because when you think of this new athlete, that's not what you picture. Someone saying, "Look, holds guys accountable. I love it. Expectations are high." Generally, you expect just the whiny athlete. So I'm glad. And that's unfortunate, because I guarantee you most of these guys aren't that. Most mm-hmm. of these guys are the ones who want to work hard, who show up every single day and like to be held accountable. So, yeah, I like that Byron Murphy is accepting the coaching the way that he is so far.
Here's what Mike had to say about new linebacker Tyrese Knight.
Yeah, Tyrese made some good plays. I think today we had a little bit of an install, so there's a couple, you know, mental errors that we want to chase. But, you know, I think, the intent's there. The attention to detail is there. We'll keep working on all the movement, you know, we're playing like a linebacker in the NFL. But, again, just like everybody else on the team, those are the things that are going to be really important for us to do. So, and he sees that, so we'll go to work on it.
I think Tyrese is going to be one of the more interesting draft picks to follow, because he was the most controversial pick, and it's not his fault. He didn't choose when he was going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not his fault that a lot of other draft analysts had him lower on the board, or had other linebackers who were available, or even some Seahawks fans were like, well, why not this guy? They wanted Tyrese Knight. Tyrese Knight didn't say, you know, like, hey, I'm coming here, okay? So you kind of walk into this world where it's like, well, are you going to be worth it? Look, he's a day three pick. He's going to have a learning curve. This is not a round one guy. Let him learn.
He was the ninth linebacker taken.
Let him learn.
The ninth. And there's something that is going to be common when you hear Mike McDonald talk. He's going to talk about mental errors because these guys are learning a new system. Mm-hmm. They're learning. There are new expectations placed on them. And with Tyrese Knight, you watch the film, man. He's a good linebacker. He's a good linebacker. He has great instincts. He diagnoses plays fairly quickly. He meets you at the line of scrimmage. They saw something in him that they liked. He was the ninth linebacker taken. Now, if Tyrese Knight was the second, third, or fourth, then I think there'd be more questions. Like, all right, what are you guys doing?
Yeah,
you got Adrian Cooper.
Colson.
You got Colson. You got Wallace. You got Peyton Wilson out there. No, I think he fell into the spot that he fell in because of what was left, and they saw something in him that they liked. Give this young man a chance to see how he grows.
This is where I think you get analysts that stick too much to their own board instead of recognizing that other teams might have different boards and might recognize different things or might think, like, you know what, no matter who we take in this round, he's going to be a project, so we're going to go with the upside at this one particular area that this one particular guy has. And that's how they're making that decision. It's like they look at it and they go, well, technically I had three linebackers ahead of this guy, and it's like, but all three of those guys were still day three picks. You didn't have an obvious front runner to this guy.
Now, linebacker was the trickiest position, I think,
truly,
in this draft to evaluate. So if it is tricky, get what you like. That's what they did.
All right. Well, ESPN's Brady Henderson has plenty of takeaways and notes from rookie camp. Let's figure out what he thinks about this group. He's joining us next.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.